The original Kodak camera, launched in 1888, made circular photographs. Not square, not rectangular, circular, roughly 2.5 inches across. That detail alone tells you something important. Photography was still figuring itself out. Before that camera existed, taking a photograph meant hauling large, heavy equipment and handling fragile glass plates for every single exposure. George Eastman had already changed part of that equation in 1880, perfecting a process for photographic dry plates and building a business around them. Then, in the 1880s, he introduced roll film entirely, eliminating the need to prepare and carry individual glass plates. The era of portable photography had a starting point, David, and it was messier and more experimental than most people realize. Now, the key idea behind Eastman's 1888 Kodak was radical simplicity. Think of it this way. The camera arrived preloaded with a 100 exposure roll of paper negatives, sealed inside. You pressed the shutter. That was your entire job. When the roll was finished, you mailed the whole camera back to the factory. Kodak processed it, printed your photographs, reloaded the camera, and sent everything back to you. The slogan captured it perfectly. You press the button, we do the rest. That system worked, but the camera cost $25, real money at the time. Then, in 1889, Kodak replaced paper film with a transparent plastic base made from nitrocellulose, a material actually invented by Hannibal Goodwin of Newark, New Jersey, in 1887. The technology was improving fast, but the price barrier remained. In 1900, Eastman introduced the Brownie, $1. That number is worth sitting with for a moment. The original Kodak cost $25. The Brownie, introduced 12 years later, cost $1. The Brownie was a simple box camera, and unlike its predecessor, it had a removable film container. Customers no longer needed to ship the entire camera back to the factory. Eastman marketed it specifically for children, which was a deliberate strategy to extend photography far beyond technically trained adults. That means the Brownie wasn't just a cheaper product, it was a cultural statement. Photography belonged to everyone now. By 1892, Eastman had reorganized his operation as the Eastman Kodak Company, and by 1927, the company held a virtual monopoly on the photographic industry in the United States. The Kodak system had succeeded by separating picture-taking from the technical labor of developing and printing. Ordinary people could finally participate. While Eastman was democratizing photography for the masses, a different kind of revolution was forming in Europe. Oskar Barnack was an engineer at the Leitz Optical Company in Germany, and he had a serious problem. He suffered from asthma. The large cameras of his era were genuinely difficult for him to carry. So around 1913 and 1914, he built a compact prototype, known as the Ehrleica, or Lilliput, that repurposed 35mm cinema film, running it horizontally, to produce a 24 by 36 millimeter frame. That specific frame size, David, became the standard for small format photography for the rest of the century. The goal was simple: smaller body, lighter weight, no sacrifice in image quality. After a series of prototype refinements called the Leica Zero series, an early production version of the Leica, I entered production at the end of 1924. It was presented publicly at the Spring Trade Fair in Leipzig in 1925. Between 1925 and 1930, approximately 57,000 Leica cameras were produced. The Leica's rapid film advance allowed photographers to make successive exposures quickly, encouraging an immediate, informal visual style. That capability helped give birth to modern photojournalism and to Henri Cartier-Bresson's concept of the decisive moment, the idea that a single unposed fraction of a second could contain an entire truth. The takeaway here is this, David. Two parallel forces shaped the first era of modern photography. Eastman made cameras accessible to everyone by removing technical barriers and slashing cost. Barnack made cameras invisible, small enough to disappear into a moment rather than interrupt it. One democratized the act of taking pictures. The other transformed what pictures could capture. Together, the Brownie and the Leica, I represent the two founding impulses of vintage camera culture: accessibility and precision. Every collector who picks up a film camera today is, knowingly or not, holding both of those impulses in their hands.